Three rounds in the books in the Stanley Cup Finals are set. We'll recap how both sides got there, and we tackle some of the burning Leafs questions with the return of Cosign No Sign. All that and more coming up on Locked On Leafs Podcast, part of Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day.
Your Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the May 30th edition of the Locked On Leafs podcast, a daily Maple Leaf-centric podcast hosted by myself, Mike DiStefano from TSN, also my guy, Dave Morosutti from Sportsnet. What's happening, buddy? We finally have ourselves a cup final on our hands.
Yeah, it's just crazy to see how different these two series were between Vegas and Florida. Like, how they both got to the finals. Like, Florida, bunch of OTs, bunch of close games, and then Vegas just like, we're going to slap this team silly, just really put an exclamation point on getting to the final. Like, I can't remember the last time I saw a team, like in Dallas's case, just bow out like that. I guess maybe just running out of steam, but man, what a way to go out.
Yeah, it really, it wasn't even like close. Like, that game started off, it was 3-0 before I even got back. Like, I went out quickly to go grab some dinner around 7:30, and I got back at like 8:30, and it was already 3-0, and the game was over. I'm like, I missed the whole dang thing. I ended up watching the rest of it to see the rest of the blowout. But, the game was, I mean, that was just Vegas, man. Like, they were ready to say, you know what, enough's enough. This is our, you know, opportunity to go to a Stanley Cup final, our second in history, in the short 6-year history of the Vegas Golden Knights. It's wild though, man, like 6 years and they've made 2 cup finals, 4 conference finals appearances. And, the Maple Leafs haven't had either since 1967, David.
And the Vegas Golden Knights have had more coaches in that period than the Toronto Maple Leafs have had. In that, like, it's crazy to think that Vegas, like, they're not messing around, man. When
I'll tell you what, man, I actually respect it. I honestly
absolutely 1,000%.
They do not accept any amount of, you know, failure. Poor play. Like, the second that team starts to slip a little bit, change is made. You know, and how ruthless the change is, they don't care. The change is made, right? They had Gerard Gallant, who took them to a Stanley Cup. And 2 years later, they're like, nah, no thanks. You haven't gotten us back to a cup final yet. You're not good for the job. Gone. And then they bring in, who was there before Bruce Cassidy? Why am I blanking here?
Sure. No, it wasn't Gallant.
No, I'm blanking. But yeah, whoever it was, is there for like 2 years, and then they didn't make the playoffs last year. And they're like, sorry, DeBoer. It was Pete DeBoer, was it not?
Yeah, it was Pete DeBoer.
Yeah. Pete DeBoer, and they're like, yeah, no thanks. You didn't get us over the hump. You're out of here. Then all of a sudden they bring in Bruce Cassidy, and in his first year brings the team to a Stanley Cup final. But look, man, like, that's a team that they're ruthless. They're honestly, they play the game as if it's like the NHL video game, the way that they just go about things, trades, signings. It's always blockbuster deals with them. They're firing coaches left, right, and center, and they're consistently succeeding, though. They're finding ways to win and make it deep into a conference final, and, you know, now back into a Stanley Cup final. And I don't know, man, like, that's gonna be a tough team to beat. Like, Florida, I understand that they've been kind of the team of destiny to this point, but it'll be 10 games in between games last they played, when they swept Carolina in game 4, to when they play on Saturday. We got to wait till Saturday for game 1, and that'll be 10 days in between games for Florida. I'm kind of worried that team's going to kind of run out of steam. I mean, they were just rolling and rolling and like playing on adrenaline the whole time. I wonder if that 10-day layoff is going to kind of hurt the squad here.
Oh, it'd be such a shame if they lost steam. But yeah, it's tough because, granted they'll take the rest, they'll take the chance to heal up any wounds, but Vegas is also gonna have a little bit of time on there to kind of recoup a little bit as well, because it's not starting until Saturday, the Stanley Cup final. So they'll have a little bit of time. But yeah, like if you're Florida, you're just I mean, the eagerness too to get started can also hinder teams too, right? You can overthink things a little bit. You can get a little restless too. And it'll be interesting to see how that first game goes, because in two straight series, Florida has gone up, has taken away home ice advantage, right? It'll be interesting to see if they can do that again.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see if they can do that. They'll have an opportunity to, obviously, with game one Saturday in Las Vegas. What's your early lean though? Kind of before we start, we'll dig into it and do a bit more of a proper preview a little bit later. But now this is the first time we're about 20 minutes out from knowing that it's going to be Vegas and Florida. Like, what's your early lean on how you think the series is going to go?
A big one for me is I just think Vegas plays such a structured style, but also has so many game breakers that Carolina didn't have. That's where I'm leaning on Vegas. Then again, Florida's just got they just find ways, and everyone wants to count them out. I've been counting them out ever since the playoffs started, and they just whoa, they're like rats. They're like rats. You think you got them, they find a way to pop up again and just ruin your day.
Yeah, currently on FanDuel, the Vegas Golden Knights are favored to win the series -140. You can get the Panthers at plus money, +110. So, strong indications that early on, a lot of bettors like Vegas, and I think I would also lean that way. And I just, the 10-day in between, I think, might just kind of put a little bit of a damper to the Florida Panthers. They were just on such a streak. They were just rolling. They were in rhythm. You take that away from them, 10 days without a game. I think that could hinder them come the playoff time. And ultimately, I just think that the Golden Knights are just a better team. They're better built. They've got a better blue line. They've got, to your point, they've got some stars up front as well. And they're just so deep. Like that fourth line tonight in that game was incredible. Incredible. Will Carrier is one of the more underrated players in this league. I'm telling you, he might be the best fourth liner in the NHL. He's perfect. He's like a prototypical fourth line guy who will forecheck hard, who will, go to the front of the net, and he can pop in a goal every now and then. He's such an underappreciated player, I feel like, around the league. And yeah, Michael Amadio, former Toronto Maple Leaf, making some things happen out there tonight as well. There is a lot of former Maple Leafs that'll be represented within the Stanley Cup final. You've got Amadio, obviously, got Carter Verhaeghe on the other side. There's a couple of guys on both sides where you've got some former Leaf ties, I guess, that it's going to be there. Something that I thought was really cool, though, you take a look at both of these teams, both coaches in their first year with the club. So you've got Bruce Cassidy in his first year with Vegas. You've got Paul Maurice in his first year with the Florida Panthers, both of them taking their teams to a Stanley Cup final. I'm sure that I don't know the exact number, but I'm sure that hasn't happened all too often in NHL history.
No, and this is what makes this Stanley Cup final intriguing, is that you're not seeing the same old teams. Like, you're not seeing Tampa in another Stanley Cup final. It's just like it gets boring when you see the same teams over and over again. And it's nice to see that there'll be a first-time Stanley Cup champion. Like, I can't remember the last time we had that. Would it have been St. Louis when they won?
Were they first time? Probably, yeah.
Like,
Yeah, because Tampa had won before, and obviously Colorado had won
Colorado.
before. So yeah, I guess it would be.
Yeah, I like those. I like it when, I understand this is where the NHL is trying to get at the whole, parity thing and giving every team a chance to think they can win a title. But I also like teams that are willing to really go out of their way and do the bold moves. So I do like the two teams that had probably the boldest off seasons. I mean, technically Vegas when they did the Eichel trade last year, and then Florida with the Tkachuk trade. I do like that. I do like the storylines that are going to come out in this matchup, like, you know, Tkachuk and Eichel going for their cups.
Dude, it's like so that. Funny. Like, if you go back to our videos when Tkachuk first said he wanted to get traded, and on this show we were like, should the Leafs trade for Tkachuk? This would be, you know, the Masai-like summer that Dubas could have. Make that one trade to bring in the right piece, trade out Nylander and his 2 years for 1 year Tkachuk, give it a go, see what happens. And I remember getting flack for that. You're going to give up Nylander for Matthew Tkachuk? 2 years of Nylander for 1 year of this guy? No way. And I think a lot of people would still probably do that despite Nylander even having the 40-goal year, because look what it did for the Florida Panthers, right? I mean, they made that trade. That was their Kawhi Leonard type of trade. And, well, here we are. They now have booked their spot into the Stanley Cup final. So we'll see what happens. We'll definitely preview it a little bit later, a little bit more later on in the week for sure. But congrats to both the Vegas Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers. Got a while before we'll see them in action, though. Not till Saturday will we have game one in Vegas. So we'll have plenty of time to tee up and preview this series. But for now, let's get back into some Leafs talk here, buddy. It is Locked On Leafs after all, so we might as well do so. We're going to have the return of Cosign, No Sign. It's one of our favorite segments we have here on the show. It's been a little bit since we've played it, so we'll do that in just a moment. But first, Dave, how about a word from our show sponsor?
Yep. Today's episode is brought to you by a product that I use every day, AG1 by Athletic Greens. Maybe you're like me, you want to be healthy and eat well, but it's always easier said than done. That's no longer the case with AG1. With one delicious scoop of AG1 and a glass of water each day, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens to help start your day right. The special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery focus, and aging, all the things. It can be hard and expensive to keep track of multiple different supplements and vitamins, not to mention how hard it can be on your stomach. AG1 costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free trial packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. It's Mike DiStefano and Dave Morisuti. We're hosts here at Locked On Leafs, a daily Maple Leaf-centric podcast. So if you haven't already, and it's your first time listening to us, if you enjoy it, please, we appreciate it if you would subscribe to the show. Wherever you get your podcasts, also obviously up on YouTube if you're watching via video form. We always would like to thank our everydayers who come and join us each and every day to listen to the show. You know exactly who you are. And if you do come here and listen to the show often, you'll know how this segment works. It's Cosign, No Sign. Dave, for those who are new, I'm going to make we'll both make statements to each other. And if we agree with the statement, then we co-sign it. If we disagree, we no-sign it, and we explain our position why. Dave, I will let you go first. Give me your first co-sign, no-sign, my friend.
I'm trying very hard not to go with the old simple, you know, questions that many would think of or statements that many will think of, but I am going to kind of do it a little bit here. Joel Quenneville, if the Leafs decide to fire Sheldon Keefe, Joel Quenneville will be the next head coach.
Oh, man. Will be the next head coach? That's what it is? Not...
I don't want to go with candidates because that feels like it'd be too easy. I wanted to go a little more...
Yeah. I'm going to no sign it. I do think that Joel Quenneville will get back into the NHL. I don't know if Toronto is that market to do it. That would be a pretty ballsy move, And I don't see Shanahan agreeing to make a move like that. I mean, realistically, I think the only way that that happens is if they bring in Stan Bowman to be the GM and then he brings in his guy to be his coach as well. I don't know, maybe it'd be a package deal, but I don't see that happening. I think Joel Quenneville is a good coach. I think he'd be a great fit for Toronto, but ultimately I think that there's still a lot of, you know, hatred for the guy out there in the hockey world. And I think Toronto, it would just be way too much of a cesspool for him to make his return to the NHL. So I don't see that happening. I'm going to have to no sign that one.
No, that's fair. I wonder, I mean, I think Joel Quenneville will probably still be coaching in Florida if this situation didn't occur.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, I do wonder what will happen if the Leafs end up firing Sheldon Keefe, just how extensive the coaching search will be. But obviously, we have to wait for the GM to see what they're going to do.
Which leads me to my first co-sign, no sign, Dave. The Maple Leafs GM search will be concluded by the end of this weekend.
I'm going to no sign it just because there just hasn't been enough development. Like the Flames one went pretty deep before they decided we're just going to go with the guy we already have. Like, I don't know if the Leafs are waiting for someone to be available. I don't know if the Leafs are trying to keep the suspense, but I just don't know how. Now, obviously, I'm going to say this in a few days, they're going to announce Bradshaw Living at this point, and I'm going to feel like an idiot, but...
Did you see, really quickly, did you see what a great follower of ours, a listener of the podcast, one of our everydayers, what Blue13 said in the Locked On Leafs Discord?
What day was this?
Today. Like, literally a half hour ago, an hour ago. We've talked a lot about some of the people that the Maple Leafs have touched on, and it wasn't more than 10 minutes after the Dallas Stars got eliminated at Blue13 in our Discord says, I'd still be interested in seeing if the Leafs could pry Jim Nill. I don't think that's going to happen. What is it with like Maple Leafs fans and media trying to pry general managers, like already set in stone on their way, they're like cup contending GMs for teams and thinking like, yeah, we'll just poach them from that organization. That's how it works. Like what's with only in Toronto do I see reports like that of the Leafs being linked to guys who are already GMs around the league and well-respected who are building a pretty good program and have no reason to leave.
Yeah, it's crazy, like even just like seeing names being thrown out, and it's almost like he has a job, he's under like they can't, you can't just tell a GM, yeah, you come work for us. Like that's not how it works. They gotta first get permission to even leave their contract. And because this was like the thing with Doug Armstrong,
right?
Like we would love Doug Armstrong to be the GM of the Leafs. It'd be a great fit, but like there's just so many things that you could point out of why it wouldn't happen. And like
there are just major hurdles, one of which being he's under contract with no out clause.
Exactly. Like unless there's a GM candidate currently working right now that has an out clause that we don't know about. Like I know it happened when the Leafs brought in Ryan Burke from Anaheim.
Yeah.
Like there was that something got worked out there. But yeah, I just don't see how a current GM is just going to up and leave for the Leafs job.
No, probably not. But to get back to the question, as we go through some of the names that we've heard, right, like Trilving's really the only one that we've had any concrete answers on the fact that he has interviewed with the team. He seems to be the front runner. Possible discussions may have been had with Bergevin, Peter Chiarelli. Elliot Friedman brought up Doug Wilson over the weekend as a person of interest for the Maple Leafs, and they may have reached out for preliminary discussions. That would be an interesting name. I did hear today on First Up, though, on 1050, Dreger kind of put some cold water on Jason Botterill's name, suggesting that he doesn't believe that Botterill is really in the running here for the Leafs GM job. Not quite on their short list, he doesn't believe, which I thought was kind of bizarre. I thought Botterill would have been a pretty solid option for Toronto. We've talked about that a lot, so I was kind of surprised to hear that.
Yeah, especially because he's been working for an organization that's done things that maybe you'd like to see the Leafs try to copy a little bit. You know, Seattle has found diamonds in the rough in a lot of places. They've played a great, they've worked out. I mean, obviously just their second season, but like I've liked some of the things that Seattle has done.
Pittsburgh, he was with Pittsburgh. Helped Pittsburgh into those back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Buffalo was a little bit of a rough spot, but you know, Buffalo was a mess. it really was a mess there for a while. They're on the up and up now, but it was for a while. No name has really not been talked about in Leaf circles. It was discussed in Calgary. I think it's been discussed elsewhere in a couple other spots. The name Eric Tolsky hasn't been brought up much when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs. You think that's just because, you know, we're focusing solely on guys who have experience and have, quote, bite, whereas Tolsky is similar to like a, you know, young Dubas / Brandon Pridham, where he's known more so, I guess, as an analytics-based type of guy who has been an AGM but doesn't have that general manager experience as the main guy. Would you say maybe that's the reason why we haven't heard his name?
Probably. Like, he just hasn't had experience doing a lot of the things that maybe Brendan Shanahan is looking for from a GM. And you even mentioned it, you know, that maybe Shanahan could be looking for a guy that will do the deals, but it's him that's given the ultimate sign-off, and he's the one that's kind of making the moves himself. Like, we don't, like, that could be the thing, too. And we don't know if that's something that...
Is that what I say? You might just want a yes man in place?
Could very well be looking for that.
No, then I wouldn't expect a veteran to be in on that.
Well, it depends on the veteran.
Peter Chiarelli or Jim Benning. Jim Benning was a yes man in Vancouver.
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, God, Jim Benning.
Oh, please no. I'll quit the show if Jim Benning becomes a general manager. Literally, I will quit.
Yeah, how about we both walk out? Sorry, guys. Locked on the Leafs. We're walking out if Jim Benning comes on.
Yeah, we're on strike. We'll go on strike if that were the case. Okay, so if you don't think that this will get concluded by the end of the weekend, like, isn't that a problem? I mean, like, why isn't there a sense of urgency to get this GM search, you know, finalized and completed? Like, there's so much stuff that needs to happen between now and, you know, mid to late June. Like, June's tomorrow, bud. Like, it's tomorrow, basically. No, 2 days from now. June is in 2 days from now. Like, we got to get underway here, pal.
It's just like there hasn't I don't know what the Leafs are like. I'm assuming because they feel like they have a lot of the work being done with the current staff right now, they feel like they can get by a little bit. But no, I'm not happy that the Leafs haven't really made a lot of headway in this search, because imagine if Pittsburgh gets there. I mean, Pittsburgh's had their vacancy for a lot longer than the Leafs, but it's just like, you know, you want to avoid a situation where other teams block potentially there, because like Kyle Dubas isn't a slam dunk to go to Pittsburgh, right? Like,
if Dubas wants to be there, he'll be there.
Yeah, if he wants to be there. Like, let's say Kyle Dubas decides he doesn't want to go to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's then going to have to circle the wagon, and you know they're going to be basically going up against the Leafs for their who the Leafs won. So I'm wondering, like, are the Leafs waiting for a shoe to drop in some case? In some
regard? I could see Tolsky being a backup plan for Pitt. I don't know if they're interested in the same people, to be honest with you. The Pittsburgh job, that wouldn't bother me so much. Yeah. I don't even know, is there any other GM jobs that are currently open? Like, Calgary has been filled. You've got Toronto's job, Pittsburgh's job. Who else got fired? They filled the one in Philadelphia.
I think that was. I don't think there was any other ones.
Did Anaheim still have their GM?
Yeah, Anaheim has a GM. They don't have a coach. A
coach, right?
Apparently, they have like a 300. Remember, at one point, they had like 300 people on a list of coaching candidates.
Yeah, one of which Spencer Carberry, if I do, if I do recall. Yeah, this has to get done as soon as possible, though. Like I hope it's concluded by the end of this weekend. But to your point, it doesn't feel like there's been any movement outside of tree living, and you would think that there would be many more names to come out. This person's interviewed. This person has interviewed. This person has met with Brendan Shanahan and Lease Brass. But no, we're hearing nothing of the sort, and it's bizarre because it's been over 10 days since Kyle Dubas has been let go, and only one name has been a constant and has been, you know, has not been rumored, has legitimately been reported that they've interviewed. No one else has concrete information on whether or not anyone else has actually officially interviewed for the job. And it's just so bizarre to me. Such a bizarre situation. They got to figure it out ASAP. It's a busy offseason, and there's lots of things that they have to figure out. And I would imagine that they would have or want to have the new general manager's input on the direction that he wants to go in before making some of those moves. You know what I mean? Like, if you're coming in and you're trying to hand out a long-term contract to one of these free agents, and then in comes Trey Living or in comes, you know, whoever, well, Doug Wilson, and then they're not a big fan of that player, it's like, well, why did you do that? Like, it made no sense. It's almost like when they let Peter Chiarelli give a contract to who's the goaltender at Edmonton that he gave a contract?
Oh, Mikko Koskinen.
And then, like, 3 days later, they fired the guy. And it's like, why did you let him hand out a long-term big-money deal if you were thinking about firing the guy that week? It made no sense. So I'd imagine the Maple Leafs don't want to do that either, but there are some players that are going to need some contracts here in the very near future. And I'm not even talking about the ones who are RFAs or the ones that have, you know, contracts for next year. I'm talking about the 10 UFAs that they currently have. You know, Bunting, Kerfoot, Hall, Ryan O'Reilly, Noah Achary, Luke Shen. Like, these guys need contracts for next year, or at least they need to figure out if they want to bring them back. We'll see. But the first thing that they need to do is get themselves a general manager as soon as possible to make those decisions. Speaking of one of those UFAs, I do have one of those as one of my next co-sign no-signs. We'll get to that after the break. I'm Mike DiStefano with Dave Moore Studio. Listen to Locked On Leafs Podcast, part of Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs Podcast. It's Mike DiStefano and Dave Morisuti. We're continuing our co-sign, no-sign segment where each of us make a comment to one another, a statement, and we either co-sign if we agree or we no-sign it if we disagree. You're up next with your second statement, Dave.
My second statement will revolve the core four. Just a simple one about none of the core four will be traded this offseason.
No sign.
You do no believe sign. That someone is being traded?
I believe that one of three players will be traded. I would be extremely surprised if John Tavares is even approached to waive that no trade clause. So I believe that this conversation would whittle down to Nylander, Marner, and Matthews. I think one of those three guys gets dealt this summer. I do truly believe it. I mean, to me, it's probably more of a toss up between Marner and Nylander. I think I can make the argument for either or getting dealt this summer, you know, which would be tough to see them go. Like, they both are extremely talented players. I mean, Marner's a 99-point Selke candidate. Like, he really is a spectacular talent, but he's also somebody who just crumbles year after year in the playoffs. And you just – it's getting to a point where you're just not sure – if he can handle that spotlight at that point in time in the year. It's now been 6-7 years in a row where he just has faded come the time when the team needs him. You know, who's to say that he won't do it again next year? And at that point, it's like, we wasted another season. So I do believe that this core four has run its course. I don't think that just removing the general manager is enough of a shakeup for this roster and for this organization. I think they need a little bit more of a jolt. I would imagine Keith will also give that team a bit of a jolt if he gets fired, when he gets fired, as we're anticipating. But also, one of those core four players, I think, probably has to go as well. One of those wingers, more than likely, between Nylander and Mitch Marner. I do believe so. I know there was the report last week that Brendan Shanahan led his players to believe that he wanted to bring the band back. But, I mean, I don't know. If you bring in a general manager and he wants to make a quick change and try and shake something up, I mean, you kind of got to do it regardless of what Shanny said. You know, who knows if that report is as accurate as we think too. Who knows, you know, what it actually was that Shanahan was saying to those players. We didn't hear it from the horse's mouths. We just heard it, you know, through somebody else. Maybe there was some broken telephone in that report. So I wouldn't be totally locked in on that, on Shanny wanting to keep them together. I think at the end of the day, the team needs a little bit of a jolt, a little bit of a shakeup. So I think that we do see one of those core four players get dealt this offseason. Yeah, I'm going to no sign it.
All right. Yeah, I think if I'm interviewing Brendan Shanahan for the GM role, my top pitch is you got to figure out a way to sell Brendan Shanahan on making that trade. Because if you can sell Brendan Shanahan on being able to trade the core four, like that should win you the job. Like, right. That would be my pitch of like, if he's asking, why should I give you the job? How I would solve that.
Or do you want to, if you know that Brendan Shanahan doesn't want to trade him, I mean, are you probably better off, you know, going in saying, I have belief in this core four, and then we'll do this, this, and that around them to make them better, to supplement them with other talent and different pieces? Might that be the better option if you're an incoming, you know, GM potential general manager candidate? I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I just I don't know. I don't know how they navigate that. I think if you're in that position, you feel confident in your abilities, you got to be able to sell yourself. And you got to be able to sell what you can do. And I think you got to, Shanahan might have his thoughts, but you got to be able to sell him on a vision. And it's got to be a different one at this point.
And if that's the case, then he's not looking for a yes man, right? That's not what a yes man does. The yes man, he's the one who's going to go against, you know, yes man will just say, yeah, sure, we'll keep the core four together. A veteran GM who's got his own vision, he'll go against the grain. And we'll see if that's truly what Brendan Shanahan wants in his camp. All right. That was a solid one, Dave. Thank you so much. My last one for you. Michael Bunting should be the least biggest pending UFA priority this summer.
Ooh. I'll co-sign it in that I think they should try to figure out a way to make him stay at a number that's reasonable. Because you're seeing it right now in the playoffs. You need depth. You need depth up and down the lineup. You need guys that are going to bring that jam. Like, I know Michael Bunting didn't produce, but he brought the jam. Like, when he came back from that suspension, he looked like a different player to me. The way he was going up and down the ice, the hustle, he scored. One of the few players that scored against on Sergei Bobrovsky in the playoffs. Like, I liked what I saw in that second round series once he, focused on playing hockey and not the after whistle shenanigans. Yeah,
stuff. The goonery.
Yeah. If that's the, like, I wonder if, like, Michael Button, now we talk about people are talking about the reputation with Michael Button. I wonder if that's going to impact his free agency a little bit, because it does happen where, you know what, teams just like, I don't know if we want to take that chance. And, like, I'm hearing $5 million a season for Michael Bunting.
That's absurd.
I'm sorry. Like, on top of the reputation stuff you have to worry about, let's also not forget that he didn't have his best offensive year. So you're going to take a gamble that he's going to all of a sudden turn things around offensively after one good offensive season. And yeah, he's produced, but it was also very streaky, right? It wasn't with the consistency that he had in his technically full rookie season in Toronto.
And who did he have more points than at 5-on-5 in his rookie season?
Would that be one Connor McJesus?
He had more points at 5-on-5 in his rookie season with the Maple Leafs than Connor McDavid. Absolutely. He was robbed of the Rookie of the Year trophy. Robbed, I'll tell you. But I actually, this might surprise you, Dave, because you know how much I'm a Bunting guy. I would no-sign this.
Okay.
I don't think he should be the least biggest priority.
Who is the biggest priority for you then?
For me, it's probably Luke Shen or Nola Chari would be a little higher on the list. David Kampf, I think, would be higher on my list than Michael Bunting. And then maybe I'd get to Bunting after that. I mean, O'Reilly, I guess if he can bring back Ryan O'Reilly, I suppose we shouldn't leave him off the list. If he could figure out a number that works, yeah, sure, bring back Ryan O'Reilly. But it doesn't sound as though he's interested in coming back. So that's, you know, but I mean, I guess, yes, he would also be ahead of Michael Bunting for me. So when I think of, like, you know, biggest priorities, yeah, I think he's down my list a little bit, if I'm being completely honest. Because to your point, the numbers that we're hearing that Michael Bunting could garner is just absurd. Like, there's no chance that this team is going to give this guy, you know, $4-5 million. It's just not going to happen.
I was looking at the cap numbers and stuff. Like, you're going to be able to squeeze out Jake Muzzin's deal because, I mean, Chris Johnson pretty much said, like, they don't expect him to play ever again. Like, he's done. So, like, that's $5.6 million, I believe, around that, that you'll have to work with. Would I take that and give it to Bunting? Heck no. It's just not smart use of cap space. And I, you get this cap space, use it wisely, right? Like, David Kampf is an important player to bring back. Luke Shen, you brought him up. And Nola Chari. I would even say if you can get those three players in the amount of money that you would be saving with Jake Muzzin, that would be a pretty good, tidy business. Now, maybe you can get it for a little less than $5 million. I'm trying to do math, quick math here in my head. It's
you might. It would come in close.
It would be close
to that number, I would say. Like, Kampf, you know, two maybe, 2.25 potentially.
Yeah.
Luke Shen, like, $1.5 million maybe. And then what do you get for Curry? Same thing, like, $1.5 million, 1.75 maybe. Like, I would say they would all be in that kind of $1.5 to $2-ish million range. So, yeah, probably would be roughly that $5.6 million between the three of them.
And I also think the Leafs should be prioritizing to find a little more speed into this lineup. This team needs a little bit of injection of – not talking about players
with speed. It's so funny. Like, for years, that was what this team was, speed and skill. And then they completely overturned the bottom end of the roster. And then it was like, yeah, they could use a little bit more speed now. It's like, oh, is that the case? Could they use a Michael Amadio? Could they use a Carter Verhaeghe? Could they use players like that? Maybe they could. But, yeah, I don't know. I just – for me, here's another thing. If Michael Bunting – I don't think you could justify paying a guy $4 to $5 million if there was no urgency to put him back in the lineup when he came back from suspension. If he was worth $4 to $5 million, you'd find a way to pull out a fourth liner and get that guy in the lineup. Like, you would find a way to get him in there, right? Jamie Benn came back from the suspension despite Dallas winning two games in a row. I know he's their captain, so it's a little bit of a different situation. But what did they do? They put that guy back in the lineup. Now, they got dusted and they lost, obviously, so maybe it wasn't the right decision. but they put that guy in the lineup. Michael Bunting, there was no urgency to get him back into the lineup. So if there was an urgency then, why would there be urgency now at a much higher cap hit than what he's been the last couple of years? And with the emergence of Matthew Nyes, he could take one of, you know, he could take that top spot that Bunting had the last couple of years since Hyman left. You know, he might be ready for that. He was that by the end of the season, right? He was up there on that top line when he got injured. So sure. I think there's a couple of factors. Bunting, he might not be a Leaf man next season. I'm really leaning towards that not being the case unless he takes a real big discount of like $3 million, which I don't think he will. I think he should go and get more because he'll be offered more than that.
Yeah, no, and I will never say, yeah, we like to see players stay as long as possible. We also like to see players set themselves up financially when they, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to have a full career.
Yeah. All right, buds. Well, there it is. Another co-sign, no sign in the books. Lots of fun. We'll definitely continue some of these more off-season topics and conversations as the weeks go on here, and as we await news on a new general manager, we're basically going to have to play GM for the next little bit. Maybe we should do that, actually. There was a fun chat going on in the Discord. I don't know if you saw it over the weekend. Someone challenged one of our regulars. You be the GM. What would you do? And he just started spewing off, like, step by step what he would do if given the job, who he'd bring in as the coach, who he'd fire, who he'd trade, who he'd sign, what numbers. Maybe we could do that at some point this week. You know, GM Dave one day, GM Mike the next, and we'll see, you know, what will we do with this team moving forward if we had the GM cap on. Let us know in the comments below if that's something that would interest you. Maybe we could do an episode on that at some point this week as we await news on an actual general manager. But that'll do it for us here today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting this show. You can subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcasts and platforms and receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. Follow Dave at D_Morrissey. Follow the show as well at Locked On Leafs. We'll be back with another episode for you guys tomorrow. But until then, keep locked right here on Locked On Leafs.